chapter number 2. Stand with me, and we'll read a few verses here and give you the thought as the Lord has laid it on our heart. Mark chapter 2. We've preached our way all the way to verse 17, so we'll pick up in verse number 18 down through 22. The Bible said, and the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. They come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come, the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Listen to verse 21 and 22. The Lord's going to make a greater point than that of the question that has been arisen, the question about fasting, and can I put it this way, in a larger term, religiosity. That's twice I've got to use that word this morning, religiosity. Jesus said, no man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I do pray that, Lord, for the next few moments, you'd help us direct our thoughts, our attention. Lord, may our very hearts be set upon the Word of God. Lord, you know this morning the things that are needed in this place. You know the sinners that need saving. Lord, you know the lost that need found. You know those that have walked in one way, didn't need to leave different than they came in. And I pray by the lovely, powerful, saving name of the Lord Jesus that these things would take place, that Lord Jesus would be exalted. I pray for the saved today and those that are indeed and truly the children of God, children of the bride chamber, the bridegroom. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would, Lord, cause them to rejoice today. Lord, that their Savior lives within them. And Lord, over the differences and the change that Jesus has made for them. Lord, all that you do, Lord, for us today, we'll thank you over again. Be magnified. May thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I believe the setting behind these verses that we've read to me seem to still be in the house of Levi. We preached on the conversion the day that Levi forsook it all and gave it all to Jesus and was gloriously converted in verse number 13 and 14. And on last week, we preached out of verses number 15, 16, and 17, where the one who is converted in verse 14 has now invited the Savior and his new master into his house to sit at his table. And there's prepared a meal and meat to eat. And not only is the Savior there and this newly born again child of God, but he has invited all of his publican and sinner friends to come. There's a great scene in the house of Levi, this one by the name of Matthew, that there is joy and festivity as the master is now found eating not only with Levi, but many publicans and sinners have come, no doubt the friends of this one who has newly been converted. They themselves have seen the change in Levi's life and his attitude and everything about him. His whole world has changed. And now he's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt there's interest in these publicans and sinners in what Jesus did for Levi. And maybe the Lord would do in their life as well. We understand that this absolutely upset the Pharisees and the scribes as they questioned, we preached last week, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners. And Jesus cut straight to the point. He cut them in their very heart. He cut them to absolute shreds. Amen. In verse 17, that when he heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we preached on the fact that Jesus came to save a certain kind, and those that are self-righteous and those that are deceived in religion. Amen. Those who do not know they need the physician and need the gospel and need the medicine of the grace of God, they go on being sick, not even knowing and not even aware or concerned of their own state, that Christ came, my friend, to save and to rescue. Amen. Sinners, to turn them from their way, to make their life whole from the sickness of sin that has plagued them. Amen. And I believe Christ has silenced them about, amen, that matter, particular matter of him eating and drinking and fellowshipping and trying to reach at publicans and sinners. Amen. But you understand this, those that are set in their ways, those that have the religiosity of a deception within their heart. Amen. They'll go from one thing to another. They'll never be satisfied. And so in this setting, we find that this is the second encounter between Christ and the Pharisees in the house of Levi. And here, this one begins with an interrogation about fasting. But it ends with what Luke says in his account in Luke 5. We'll look at in the end of the message this morning, but in Luke 5, Luke calls verse 21 and 22 parables. The matter of the parables about old garments and old bottles. The Lord does not want to get pulled into their trap. He doesn't want to have a discussion about fasting and the ins and the outs and how much and how little and when and where and what it ought to look like. He's not interested in those questions that gender strife. He brings them in verse 21 and 22 to a parable that is going to illustrate the fact of the matter. And my friend, that Jesus came to make a difference in people's lives. Amen. The old garment and the old bottles. There is a new cloth and a new wine. And Jesus is preaching to them through these parables. Amen. Something that is seen throughout the whole entire setting, going all the way back to verse number 14, when he met a publican, a sinner man, by the name of Levi. He was a thief. He was a scoundrel. Amen. He was a lowlife. He was a sorry piece of excuse for, amen, society. Amen. But Jesus came and saved him. And Jesus changed his life. And Jesus even changed his name. He's called Levi when Jesus meets him. But, amen, he follows the Lord. He's called him to be one of the 12. And he's renamed to that of Matthew. Amen. Jesus changed this boy. His whole life was turned upside down, inside out. And Jesus gave him a new name. Jesus gave him a new life. And Jesus gave him a new commission. And Jesus gave him a new purpose and a new joy and a new master. And what a change was made in this sinner's life. What a change is being made, no doubt, in other publicans and sinners' lives. And Jesus is now telling this self-righteous religious crowd, and this is what I've come to do. I've not come to call them into, amen, a different form of your religion. I've not come to make what I've come to do compatible with what you are doing and how you think about things. I have come to make a difference. And so we see it in Levi. Levi had been changed. And what a difference Jesus had made. Amen. What a difference Jesus had made. And now Christ is through parables telling the religious crowd he can make a difference in them as well. Amen. That's what he's come to do, to seek and to save. Amen. That which is a loss, He's come to make a difference. He's come to bring a change. He's come to bring a newness of life. Amen. He's come to take away the old. Amen. That He might give something that is new. Amen. And may I say, I'm glad He did that work in my life. I'm thankful that He made a difference in my life. Amen. And so for the Lord to help me for just a moment, I want to work my way through these verses we've read dealing with the thought. Amen. What a difference Jesus makes. What a difference Jesus makes. I'm glad He made a difference in my life. Amen. It wasn't a little difference. It wasn't a reformation. Amen. He didn't make a difference that somehow what I am today resembles a little bit, amen, of the old by which He found me. Brother Mark, what a difference Jesus made in my life. Amen. The choir just sang, amen, a moment ago, oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by. I believe Levi could have sung that. I know I can sing that, and many of you, amen, can sing that as well today. The second verse of that song is Sister Candy sang. Amen. What a difference since Jesus passed by. Amen. What a difference. What a difference that Jesus makes. Amen. You may be in religion today. You may be a publican or a sinner. You may be, amen, the most down and out you may feel like. Amen. There is no hope for you whatsoever. You may not even be interested, amen, today in a difference. But I'm telling you, amen, Jesus can make a difference in your life. Amen. Whether you want it or not, whether you know you need it or not, amen, whether you think He can or not, I'm talking about a Savior and one that came to make a difference. Amen. One of the things you'll find is very easy to say, amen, all the way through the recorded life of the Lord Jesus. And my friend, He always made a difference in the lives of those that came to Him. Amen. When the blind would come to Him, He'd make a difference and they'd leave sin. Amen. When the deaf would come to Him, amen, when they walked away, they could walk away saying, what a difference Jesus made. Amen. When the crippled were carried to Him, amen, Jesus made a difference, and they would, amen, they would walk away and leap away and run away and skip away saying, what a difference Jesus made. Amen. The lepers, my friend, exiled, yeah, in their leper colonies away from society. Amen. If they somehow could call out to the Lord, amen, and the Lord have compassion on them, amen, when they would walk away, they would leave, amen, without a stain of leprosy upon them. All the spots were gone. All that the disease had decayed and taken away had been restored, and they could go home, amen, and testify what a difference Jesus makes. Amen. Jesus never left anybody in the old sad shape they were in. Amen. When He got done with them, the testimony was what a difference Jesus makes. Amen. And Jesus is, amen, Jesus not only made a difference, amen, but He's still making a difference. Amen. He's still changing lives. Amen. He's still taking away the old that He can put in the new. I'm thankful for that this morning. Let me give you three things, three headings in these verses about the difference Jesus makes. Number one, in verse number 18, consider for just a moment the contrast of the difference Jesus makes. The contrast. There are two different groups of people that are mentioned in verse number 18. You have the disciples of John and of the Pharisees. And then you have the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider this, we understand, and just even at a glance, and there is a contrast that is set forth. And these disciples of different sects and these disciples of different groups and headings that are following different masters, there is a contrast that is seen in everything about their life. The issue that is in hand, amen, as we look at this, I believe is that the contrast here is between outward formal religion And that, my friend, of someone who has a personal relationship with Christ. Amen. That is, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees, they seem to be stuck in a rut of religion. Amen. While the disciples of Christ, amen, they are running upon and running in a personal walk with the Savior. Amen. Let me show you a few of the contrasts that are made. Amen. We find that the contrast that, amen, the disciples of the Pharisees and of John that they noted. Amen. A difference in that one crowd, their crowd was fasting, and the other crowd was feasting. Amen. Is that not a contrast? Amen. Can I say a word about that since it's in the context? Amen. Christ in this passage is not going to rebuke fasting. In fact, under the law, amen, there was the command that God's people were to fast. I don't have time to look at it, but in Leviticus 16, there was one required fast done annually by the people of God. At the time of the sacrifice of atonement, all the people were to fast. God only required one. Amen. But in the minds of the Pharisees, they were so dedicated to the law of God that they had fulfilled all God had required of them to do. And so they began to add things and add their own twists and their own commandments and their own requirements and went beyond even what God said. Amen. And they prided themselves in their fastings. And you'll find this and you'll read, you remember when Jesus, amen, was speaking about two men that went and began to pray. There was one man who was a Pharisee and another man who was a publican. You remember what the Pharisee Jesus said and gave us insight into the prayer of the Pharisee. Amen. He had the audacity in his outward religion to look up to heaven and say, amen, Father, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. And he began to list the sins of everybody else. Amen. As though he himself had no sin. And then in that prayer, here's what the Pharisee prays. I fast twice in a week. I fast twice in a week. Now God under the law said it is required that you fast one time in a year. Amen. Nothing wrong with fasting more times than that. There are other times that fasts were called that we see that, amen, where God's people were in a state of revival and seeking God and getting right with God, and how fasting played a role in that. And here, my friend, in the days of the Pharisees, there is a crowd that is fasting twice in a week. They would fast, tradition says, on Tuesdays and on Thursdays. On Tuesdays and on Thursdays. And they would fast from 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening. It would be 12 hours of fasting. And on Tuesdays and on Thursdays, what they would do, they would eat a meal just right before 6. And then as soon as 6 p.m. that evening would come, amen, they would spread the table and they would gorge themselves to a glutton state. Amen. And then look back and say, ain't I something? Amen. I fasted 12 hours this Tuesday and Thursday. Amen. And they were stuck in that religion. Amen. They're stuck in that vein of tradition. And evidently this seems to be taking place either on a Tuesday or a Thursday, because they are fasting and they look and here is Christ. Amen. His disciples and all these publicans and sinners, and they're not fasting. There is a spread on the table and they are feasting. What a contrast. Jesus lays hold upon this and says they cannot fast so long as I'm with him. In other words, I'm here. They're not seeking me to come. I'm already with him. Amen. There's reason to be joyful. There's reason to be merry. There's reason that we should enjoy this time together around the table in fellowship. Amen. One crowd is fasting. One crowd is feasting. Amen. One crowd is sad in their days of fasting. Amen. You know what the Pharisees would do? Amen. They would make sure that Brother Gerald, they would look real sad and sunken face. Amen. And real somber and real pious. And they would walk around for those 12 hours, 2 days a week. Amen. As though, amen, they had this sad, somber look. Amen. That they're just, amen, they're grudging their way through their fast. Amen. But when I read verse number 15, amen, you know what I find the contrast is? Amen. One crowd is sad, the other crowd smiling. Amen. It looks like around the table there's joy. It looks like they're singing. It looks like, amen, they're happy. Amen. Can I say, amen, there'll always be a contrast, amen, between God's people and those that are in religion and those even that are in the world. Amen. Amen. Sin will leave them sad and religion will leave them sad. Thank God we've got a smile in our heart. Yeah. Amen. The Lord fellowships with us and walks with us. And thank God it's on the inside of us we have reason to smile. Yeah. I see a contrast in the thought and in the fact that the Pharisees and their disciples and John's, they seem to be enduring religion. And I say, that's an awful place to be. There is a contrast in the difference that Jesus makes. Amen. One crowd is enduring religion, but the disciples of Christ, they are enjoying relationship.
Amen.
And I say that is a contrast between those who know the new life and those that are still stuck in the old life. So I'm in church today, that don't mean you know anything about the new life. Some are here today and you're just enduring. You're here today because, amen, your parents make you be here. And some are here today just out of a religious exercise. And they'll get nothing out of any of this. They won't be challenged. They won't be stirred. They won't grow spiritually. And they're just enduring religion. Amen. But can I say those that, amen, Jesus has made a difference in our life. And Brother Larry, we're not enduring religion. Those days are behind me. Amen. I'm not grieved today. I don't feel bound today. I'm not carrying a burden anymore. I'm enjoying a relationship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. The contrast of the difference Jesus makes. Ain't you glad that He makes a difference? Amen. I'm not sad anymore. Amen. I'm not stuck in, amen, a state of religion. Jesus said in Matthew chapter, in chapter number 6, verse number 16. Let me get it so I read it right. He said, when you fast, amen. He said, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, and they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. Amen. The only thing they're going to get is whatever they can get recognition-wise by, amen, religion or by men or by what others can view and see and praise in their life. Amen. But I'm telling you, we're not hypocrites today. Amen. Somebody say, old church is full of hypocrites. Amen. I'm telling you that, amen, they may be a handful here and there. Amen. But those that really know God are not hypocrites. Amen. Those that, my friend, have had the new life bestowed upon me. Amen. Jesus has made a difference. And what a difference Jesus makes in our life. Amen. We're not hypocrites anymore.
Amen.
Amen. What's amazing to me, the crowd usually, amen, indicts everybody else with being a hypocrite as a hypocrite themselves.
That's right. Amen.
Say amen right there. Amen. I'm trying to move on. The next point's really good. And the third point's the one I really want to get to, and I ain't going to make it if I don't hurry. I'm talking about what a difference Jesus makes. Amen. He makes a difference in the lives of those that are in sin.
Yes, sir. That's right.
In that difference, there is a contrast.
Yes, sir.
You're not what you used to be. If you was a publican and a sinner like Levi, Jesus met you in your way. My friend called you out of sin. Amen. With that, he makes a distinct contrast in your life in the difference that he makes. It's you're no longer what you used to be.
Amen.
If he saves you out of religion, man-made traditions, amen, if he saves you off a Baptist church pew, amen, Jesus will still make a difference in your life by putting a contrast in what you were and what you are.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
He changes.
Amen.
Amen. So we see the contrast. Let me give you number two, and maybe we'll wind down for this morning. We'll pick this up. Amen. Because number three is the meat of the message. Notice with me a thought here, then a scene. Now, don't forget, we're talking about what a difference Jesus makes. The contrast that out of all the groups that are there, Christ's disciples are different. He's made a contrast. But notice with me the connection. The connection to the difference Jesus makes. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me show you a truth here. Look with me again in verse 19 and in particular verse number 20. Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Then shall they fast in those days.
Yes.
You say, preacher, what do you mean by a connection to the difference Jesus makes? Here's what Jesus said. I'm the bridegroom.
Right.
I'm the bridegroom sent from the Father to come down here, and I am with them now. Now's the time again for them to be merry and to sing and to shout and to be joyful. Now's not a time for fasting. Now's not a time for long faces. Now is the time that they ought to be enjoying my presence.
Amen.
And here's what Jesus said. He said, there is coming a time when I will be taken away from them.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now we have started the gospel according to Mark. What I want you to know this morning in that phrase, according to verse number 20, this is the first, though it be a veiled reference, it is the first reference to Christ and His main purpose for coming to this world. It is a reference to the fact that in days to come, He is going to be betrayed. He is going to be led away. He is going to, my friend, be beaten. He is going to be put on false trial. He is going to, my friend, be mauled and to be ridiculed. He's going to be slapped in the face. He's going to be spat upon. He's going to be challenged in every way that humanity can be challenged. Amen. He's going to be led from one place in Pilate's, amen, down to Herod to be scorned and mauled and made a joke of, and then sent back to Pilate. Amen. With all these questions, what shall we do with this man? Amen. He's going to stand there, amen, having been taken away from them, and hear the crowd being given one of two options. Amen. Which one shall I release unto you? It's Barabbas or this one, Jesus. And he's going to hear the jeers and the shouts and the cries of that crowd that he had fed their hungry bellies and raised their dead babies. Amen. Friend, done wondrous things for her. Cry out, crucify him, crucify him. And the Bible said that my friend Pammy washed his hands and day and delivered Jesus in unto the hand of the Roman soldiers and to the mob to be crucified. And the Bible said, and they led him away. And my friend, they went and they built an old rugged cross. Amen. They took him down to Gabbatha's whipping post and bared his back, and they beat him up one side and down the other. Amen. So marred was the Son of God. And the Word of God said you couldn't even tell, amen, in his marring that he was even a man. He looked like a hunk of flesh walking around. Amen. He looked like, amen, just an old piece of meat. Amen. They was walking down the road and they led him to where the cross was, and they put that cross upon his shoulder. Amen. Friend, they led him away to Golgotha's hill. Amen. All the way down the Via Dolorosa. Amen. Through the streets of Jerusalem. Amen. Out of the gate and that without of the city. He walked up Golgotha's hill, having been taken away from here. Amen. Taken away from here. Amen. Friend, there for 9 hours. Amen. For 6 hours between heaven and earth. Amen. The Lord suffered the agony. Amen. The sin debt of the entire world and the dregs of your sin and of mine. Amen. All the torment, all the punishment, all the righteous indignation and judgment of Almighty God. Amen. Was laid out upon him and poured into his soul. Amen. Abandoned by his Father. Abandoned by his disciples. Abandoned by the multitudes and the crowd. And there, my friend, he paid. Amen. Their sin debt. Amen. He paid the price at Calvary's hill. And when all was said and done according to the scripture, amen, he shouted with a loud shout. Amen. Tetelestai. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he died on that glorious day, having been suspended between heaven and earth. Amen. The Bible said it. And upon his death, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came begging the body of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Pilate, my friend, yielded. Amen. And gave them the darling body of the Son of God. Amen. They took and they laid it in the borrowed tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had provided. A tomb in which no man had ever laid before. Amen. They rolled a stone in front of it. Amen. Them Pharisees came to Pilate and said, amen, you better make sure you seal that. Amen. He said he's going to get up. Amen. And we don't want his disciples coming and stealing away his body. And so Pilate said, go make it sure as you can. Amen. On day number one, he laid in the grave. On day number two, he laid in the grave. And after 3 days and three nights, amen, the Son of God got up. Amen. In resurrection power. Amen. He got up. Early that first day of the week, Mary, amen, came to the tomb in the garden. Amen. And she's looking around. Amen. She sees the stone is rolled away. Amen. She stumbles upon a man that she thinks is the gardener. Do y'all remember what she said to the gardener? She said, sir, can you tell me where they laid him? They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. Amen. You see, my friend, that Mark 2. Amen. Jesus said, I'll be taken away. Amen. But he is taken away to a death. He was taken away to a grave. And thank God he was taken away. Amen. Out of the empty tomb to, my friend, be the one that forevermore is alive. You say, preacher, what does any of that have to do with a connection to the difference that Jesus makes? It has everything to do with it. If there is no power of the gospel, there is no difference that he can make. Amen. You see today, the difference is not made in baptismal pools. Amen. It ain't made on the river banks. Amen. The change and the difference it is made is not found in wafers and wines. It ain't found in church memberships and in good deeds. My friend, it's found when a sinner realizes I am a sinner. I am hell bound. I am old. I am marred. I am rent. I am torn to shreds. And I need some new. Amen. And can I say that Jesus is the one who what he done has provided, amen, the means whereby he can make a difference in our life. It's the power. It is believing the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus said, right now I'm with my disciples. Right now we're going to eat, and we don't care what you think about our feast, and y'all be sad and sour face and amen, be a bunch of hypocrites that you are. I'm going to feast with them now because the day's coming I'm going to be taken away. Paul preaching that, I know it's veiled, Brother Jack, but do we see it? Amen, he was taken. Amen, what did Isaiah 53 say? He was taken from prison and from judgment. Taken away, a veiled reference to his death and his burial and his resurrection, which brings the connection to the sinner's life. Amen, that makes the change and the difference Jesus makes possible.
Yes, sir.
Glad that I know in whom I have believed.
Amen.
Not believing in creeds and dogmas of churches and families and, oh no, I know in whom I have believed. Put all my faith has been turned unto him who alone provided the means of a change being made.
Yes, sir.
The message of the gospel, that is the foundation of everything we believe in, everything we are, everywhere we're headed, every enjoyment we have. Amen. Spiritually speaking tonight, it is connected with the fact that Jesus was taken away that he might make a difference in our life.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever believed? Have you ever put your faith and your trust in him?
Have
you ever realized you need a difference made? You can't make that difference. So if I can just get a better job, get a better job. So if I can get a bigger paycheck, get a bigger paycheck. If I can just make some better friends, make some better friends. I'm telling you, only Jesus Christ himself can make a difference in a sinner's life.
Amen.
So long as you're trying, and this is the whole argument, I won't preach the last point. Amen. But let me kind of just bump it and we'll pick it up on next Sunday morning. But this is the whole point that Christ is making. Amen. To these Pharisees, these disciples of even John and of the Pharisees, is that so long as you're trying to live in your old, you'll never have that is new. We get into the old garments and the old bottles parables. And the one that's really caught my attention is the garment. How that Jesus, and let me word it this way, I'll drive it all home next week. I'm kind of ending at a weird place, I feel like. If the Calvary can't be a weird place, then can it? Amen. Jesus, in the connection that he has made when he comes to these parables, he said, let me tell you something. If you got an old, rent, torn, tattered, threadbare garment, it's been used up, it's stained, it smells, it's good for nothing. They're them garments. Amen. It'd be like a shirt that you've wore so much you're even embarrassed to wear it out in public. So you just either you throw it away or you take it and you rip it up and you use it for cleaning rags. Jesus said, you don't take that and then go find you some little patch and put on it and go, well, now it's all better. I got a brand new shirt. No, you don't. You got an old shirt that still stinks, is still stained, is still threadbare, and just because you put a little patch on it don't mean it's a new shirt. Everybody look here. I seen this. Brother Jerry, the difference Jesus makes in the salvation that He offers, it brings that difference, is not a patchwork salvation.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Jesus didn't come to patch us up.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And that's what most folk have today. A patchwork religion. You're going to bust hell wide open. Jesus said, you try that patching up business. He said, oh, you may be able to make it a day or two. He said, but sooner or later, that thing's going to tear. And the tear from the new through the old is going to make it even worse torn than it was in the first place. Can I say I've seen religion do that? I've seen people make professions that were just a religious exercise. I'm not trying to confuse no one today, but they miss the change and the difference Jesus can make. Because they're trying to patch something up. But Jesus didn't come to patch us. He came to give us a brand new shirt.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. He came that He might, amen, take our old, tattered, stained, stinking garment. Take that from us.
Amen.
Give us His own brand new garment. Oh, there's so much I want to cut loose and preach right here. Amen. I'll talk about the connection. Can I illustrate one way? I'll preach this all out next week. Y'all remember in Luke 15 when that old prodigal said, Daddy, give me all I got. I want what's mine. That boy hit the trail one day, found himself out in the far country, and he spent everything he had. Spent everything he had. The only thing, but Jack, he had was the garment on his body. Things got so bad, he hired himself out to a hog farmer. If you're going to work around hogs, you better have, amen, several changes of garments and means to clean up every day. This boy had one piece of garment, and it was on his body. Now, I don't know how long he stayed down there, but a day in the hog pen, he'd have had enough filth and junk on his garment. Amen, it was good for nothing. Day came, he finally, Bible said he came to himself. He got thinking about all them servants down there at Daddy's house had it far better than he did being an old hired hand on a hog farm. Amen, filling his belly with the husk and the slop and the leftovers that were barely fit for even hogs to eat on. He's eating all that slop, and he finally reaches a point, and he's sick of himself. He's sick of where he is. He's sick of what he's become. And he says to himself, I'll arise and I'll go to my father, and I'll tell my daddy that I've sinned against heaven, and I've done wrong in even his sight, and that I don't even have to be a son. I'll just be a servant.
Amen.
That boy got up out the hog pen and started his way back home with only the clothes that were on his back.
Amen.
I imagine he'd been through brawls and fightings down at the bar rooms. And my friend, I mean, he's give himself. He has lived it up. That thing is ripped to shreds. It's got holes in it. Amen. Probably look like some of these, amen, stupid teenagers in our day wearing the breeches all ripped up and tattered and holes in them. I ain't that old. There's a day if you had holes in your britches, you was embarrassed to even go to school that way. Somebody say, man, so stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. They look like the old prodigal. Come back of his tattered garments. He's walking, he's probably in his mind thinking, Daddy probably don't even want to see me. Daddy probably don't want anything to do with me. All of a sudden, the father from the porch sees a figure. Through all the filth and the tattered garments and through all that the far country has done to him, all the scars and the wounds, and he sees a figure that is walking, and yet there's something about the way he's walking. The father says, that's my boy. The boy is a-walking, but the daddy takes off running. Amen. Amen. And the daddy runs. And by the time the daddy gets there, the boy falls down in a near fetal position. Amen. Humbling himself, realizing he's a sinner, realizing he has nothing. He's wasting his own life. Amen. All he has is an old stained, tattered, ripped up, ripped, marred, good for nothing garment on his back. Amen.
Amen.
Daddy, you know the story, falls on his neck and kisses him. He said, oh, you're my son. Quit all that servant talk. You're my son. You read Luke 15, you remember what that daddy said? He didn't say, hey, somebody go find the seamstress. Where's the seamstress? Somebody go get her. Y'all see this boy's garment? It's all ripped up. We got to put some patches on it. We're going to patch him up. We're going to stitch some of this. And where's the dry cleaners at? Get them to come down here. Let's get the stains out of this. Man, that thing stinks. Somebody get some Febreze or something and spray it on this boy's garment. Ain't what the daddy said. Daddy said, you go in there to my closet and you get the best robe.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he
is. Amen.
That is what Jesus does. When a sinner gets sick of himself, realizes I'm nothing, I don't deserve anything. I've wasted my life. I've rent my life. I'm good for nothing. I ought to be in hell.
Right.
Humbly and by faith he comes to Christ, saying, Lord. You know what Jesus does? Jesus doesn't patch up the life. He doesn't steam clean it and spray Febreze on you and, amen, just say, now we've done the best we could, now you just go work at it. Oh no, he brings out the best robe of grace. And he exchanges all that the far country has done to your life, all the decisions you've ever made that are represented in the tattered garments and the threadbare garments and the stains of your life. Jesus takes all of that away and gives a brand new best robe. Say, so how was that provided? It was provided at Calvary in the empty tomb. So long as you try to find another way, Jesus will not make a difference in your life. Boy, there's so much I want to say about them parables. Will y'all let me just finish it up next Sunday? Amen. I'll get back on it. We want to look at the conversion and the difference Jesus makes. It is of necessity there be a conversion. You ain't going to heaven if they ain't a conversion.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
What a difference Jesus makes. What a difference Jesus makes. The necessity, we look at the necessity, we look at the newness is what I kind of just preached so long as you're not willing to get rid of the old, you'll never know what it is to wear and drink the new. He talks about new wine in old bottles. And he talks about new wine in new bottles. But he don't ever talk about old wine in new bottles. Woo! Hallelujah! Why? Because everything about what Jesus does is new. It's new. The old life we'll see is incompatible with the new. Amen. And then I want to say a word next week about the neglect. The neglect of the conversion. You know, after Jesus went through all of this, after Jesus, they asked the question, Jesus tells them he's going to be taken away, makes the connection to his crucifixion, gives the parables. Brother A.L., verse 23, they're talking about another religious controversy. They missed it. They missed it. He just gave them the words of eternal life. Went in one ear and out the other. It went over their head. It went through their heart. Whatever cliche you want to put on it, they neglected to respond to the invitation, to the difference that Jesus could have made in their life. Amen. You read what Luke said in Luke's account of this whole thing. Mark leaves out actually a third parable that Jesus gave. Jesus knew they weren't going to receive it. Jesus knew they were going to neglect the difference that he could have made in their life. He said something like this. He said, no man having drunk in the old. He said, once a man's drunk into the old and is stuck to the old, here's his mentality, the old is better than the new. Well, how do you know the old's better than the new if you ain't tried the new? The fact is, Jesus was teaching there are some, they are uninterested in Christ converting their life. They're going to keep on going in the same old ways. Amen. What a difference Jesus makes. Amen. Let's do this. I'm trying to be sensitive. Let's stand together. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. She's playing a verse. I'm going to pray. Maybe today, as a child of God, you need to come just thank the Lord. That's always appropriate. How many of y'all, looking this way now, how many of y'all you're saved and you've really heard the message today, you go, Pastor Jeff told it right, that could save the world. Amen. How many of y'all say that? Amen. That could save the world. Amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. Amen. Would you pray, as there are people here today that need to be saved, would you pray for them? Would you pray that message to strike them in the heart, that they'd not neglect it, but that they would come to Christ and leave here saying, oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we love you and are so thankful for the Word of the Lord and this account and record, the Word of God of the life of the Lord Jesus and the words that He preached and taught that glorious day. I'm thankful for the day you saved me from my religion. Lord, you saved me from my secret sins. Lord, you made a difference in my life. Lord, I owe it all to Jesus. Lord, I owe it all to you. The grace of God, Lord, met me where I was. Lord, since that glorious day, as Mama testified there a moment ago, Lord, the light shone, but the voice was heard. Lord, you set us on a brand new path, gave us a brand new robe, a brand new bottle with a brand new joy on the inside. Lord, a new life, a new joy, a new master. Lord, I'm thankful you set a contrast in my life. Lord, I dare not try to merit any kind of favor with you, Lord. I know today it's all what Jesus did for me at Calvary. Lord, I bless your name for it. Make it real to some other sinner today. Lord, cause the children of God to rejoice in it. Lord, that their lives have been made brand new. All that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed for just a moment. If you need to come, this altar's open. This altar's open. You mind the Lord. What a difference Jesus makes. Is there anybody in the building this morning? I know there's some lost here today, but I'm not going to ask the question if you know you're saved or not. Here's what I want to ask. Is there anybody here today would lift their hand and say, Preacher, not only do I know that I'm lost, I'm a sinner, I need saving, but Preacher, by uplifted hand, I am concerned about my soul and my spiritual state. I am the old and I need the new, and I am concerned. I'm not asking you, are you coming? I'm just asking you, are you concerned enough? Say, Preacher, please pray for me today. Is there anybody anywhere? Anyone anywhere? I do not know the Lord. Thank you, young man. I see that hand. Anybody else? Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never been saved. Anyone? All right. He'll save you. He'll save you. If you know you need a Savior and you're concerned about it, you don't get that in you on your own. God's got to put that there. Holy Ghost has got to open your eyes. If you want to be saved, you can be. Amen. No high pressure, but if you want to come, you can. If you want to come, you can. Jesus said, if you'll come unto me, I'll in no wise cast you out. Amen. You can look this way. I appreciate your attention. We're not going to tarry long. We're going to let you go before 12. Somebody say amen. Miracles happen. Miracles still happen. Appreciate you being here. I trust that made sense. And, if you're saved, I hope it's a blessing to you. If you're not saved, I hope it tears your nerves up. I hope you go home and amen. Your fried chicken tastes like broccoli and you just can't get no kind of rest or peace or joy out of anything. I hope it wrecks the rest of your day till you get born again. Amen. You say, Preacher, you really praying that? I'm honest about it. I'm praying that way. Amen. I had a fella call me one time, and his life, I'm talking about, he was in some deep sin. And he called me. He said, Preacher, I feel so bad. I feel so bad. Pray I'll feel better. Pray I'll feel better. I said, I ain't going to pray you feel better. I said, I ain't praying you feel better. He said, no, Preacher, please pray for me. Pray I'll get feeling better. Pray, pray, pray. I said, I ain't praying you feel better. I'm going to pray you get so sick. I'm going to pray it gets worse on you. You say, why? Because I don't believe nobody ever quits till they hit the bottom. I don't believe they ever turn to the Lord till they get absolutely, utterly sick of themselves and what they've become. Amen. You know what that guy was asking for? He said, pray God will put a patch on me. I ain't praying that. Amen. My Savior ain't in the patchwork business. He's in the brand new best robe business. So if you're leaving today and you're not saved, amen. I ain't sorry. I'm praying you have a terrible day. I'm praying this message messed up your day and the rest of your week till you fall on your face and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your, amen, your sin-sick soul. Because I know if you do that, you get a brand new robe. You get a brand new, amen, brand new joy on the inside that absolutely lasts forever. Amen. Ain't that good?
Yes.
Amen. It's good. Amen. All right. This